Well, good evening, everyone. Demonstrate my great strength to everyone right there. I can move a podium. Look at that. And talk at the same time. It's amazing. It's great to be with you all here tonight. I'm glad to see everybody survive the day. I came in a little bit later, and I stumbled in here, and I saw people blindfolded, running around and jumping around obstacles. And then I went in there, and it looked like a battle royale on the Twister mat. So it's good to see that all of you escaped the day with at least minor injuries so we could all be here this evening. This morning, if you were there, we went over really what it looked like taking this retreat and starting at the beginning in a way of change. We tried to step back and look at it and say, how can we go to the next level? How can we enter into a time, entering into this new year and starting this retreat? How can we start as individuals and collectively as a group to really help ourselves to be centered around Christ, his mission in our life, and what that looks for us, what that looks for you guys as a church, and what that looks for us individually as well. Tomorrow morning, we're going to jump a little bit back more on that theme, but tonight, we're going to shift gears a little bit, and we're going to look at missions together. As you know, part of the reason I believe that I'm here is because my wife and I are missionary candidates with the Alliance, and so therefore, I'm going to talk to you about missions tonight. Tonight's message is going to be a little bit twofold. I want to look at, most importantly, we're going to want to look at our lives and say, how can we be more missional in our lives? What are we called to do? Where are we called to go? At the same time, we're going to look at what is the Alliance doing as a greater body of missions in this country as well, and in the countries beyond. As I introed before, my great passion is missions. From a very young age, from around the time that I was 12 years old, I felt a strong, distinctive call to do missions work. My wife as well, who's not here, she's working in the hospital right now, she felt a call as well. Before I met her, she wanted to do missionary nursing. And both of us are missionary candidates with the Christian Missionary Alliance. And what does that look like, you may say? What does that even mean, you're a missionary candidate? What happens is, as the Alliance, your church is part of the Christian Missionary Alliance, so is mine. As the Alliance, all the churches give together to one fund called the Great Commission Fund. And what that fund does is it sends out missionaries around the world. The Great Commission Fund funds over 685 missionaries in 84 countries around the world. What does missions look like? It's broad. From helping sex trafficking in... Not helping sex trafficking. Sorry. We're a really twisted organization. We're really trying to bring the darkness so people can see the light. From ending sex trafficking in Thailand, to building wells in Africa, to church planting in South America, there's a myriad of different ways that the Alliance is working around the world in different factors. But what it looks like, because we're fully funded, there's a lot of process to go out, and that's where my wife and I are right now. To go out, there's rigorous preparation. All Alliance missionaries have to have at least seminary, they have to be ordained, they have to have served 2 years in a church, and they have to have full-time ministry experience, plus we have to be debt-free. So we finally entered into the end of that time period, praise the Lord, and positions were released. So it looks like we will be going to either Thailand, Japan, or Kosovo in the next year or so. So that's where we are at in our journey. But missions is obviously one of my passions, as I'm a missionary candidate. But the question is, what does missions have to do with all of us here? Missions is not just simply, I don't think, that my wife and I and that a handful of people feel called to do. Maybe overseas missions are. But I think it's something that every single one of us, as the Church of Christ, needs to take part in together. Today we're going to look at missions together. You see, our identity, your guys' identity, my identity, the Christian Missionary Alliance was founded by an individual called A.B. Simpson. And how it was founded was this. A.B. Simpson was a Presbyterian minister. He had a very prominent church in New York City. And on his days off, what he would do is he would go down to the docks and he would minister to the immigrants coming in, the dock workers. And through this time, on his time off, he would see many dock workers actually come to Christ. And as these people came to Christ, he came to his church board and he says, "Hey, look, I have all these people that I've led to the Lord. This is awesome." And they said, "Yeah, that's kind of awesome, but we don't really want them in our service." Because their church was kind of a high-class, upper echelon of society, and these were lower class. They said, "Let's start a different church for these people. You can set aside a small service for them." And he was like, "No, that's not right. The body of Christ is called to be holistically every single person. All of us should be together in that goal." So that's really the basis of how we started, and this is still our heritage today. And I think that all of us equally, in some way or another, have the opportunity to spread the gospel. And to be missional in our own lives. So as I said, we're going to look at the dual dimension of what missions are doing right now in the world today, and how we can go and how we can be active, and hopefully that we'll sense a call and a passion and a fire to be missionaries across the world, but in our own communities as well, together. So we're going to be going over today a passage that many of you have probably heard before. This evening, I'm not going to share a message where I'm going to take the Greek and twist it around and parse it in some crazy way, and next thing you know, you're like, oh, wow, that was mind-blowing. But at the same time, I believe that the call of Christ is not found necessarily in this kind of like esoteric thinking in the ivory towers, but I think that it's for every man. I think that it's for every single one of us, and it's kind of the bread and butter, nitty-gritty of life. I think also sometimes Scripture can have the tendency to be overheard so many times. We hear a passage consistently. We hear the passage, hear the passage, hear the passage, that it loses its powerfulness, that it loses its luster. So tonight we're going to go over a passage that I believe will reignite a passion for missions, for missional living. Maybe tonight you're hearing this passage for the first time, and if you are, I think this passage will get you pretty excited. Sadly, many times, you see, in the Christian life, I think we view ourselves as once you're in, you're in. As you enter into this relationship with Christ, and then you basically are kind of done. It's game over. You've entered into this great time of forgiveness, and you don't do anything else. It stops there. And I think that's one of the most faulty thinking that we can have. And I think this text today that we're going to look at states quite the contrary. So, if you want to grab your Bibles with me, we're going to be looking at Matthew 28, 16 through 20, the Great Commission passage. So if you want to turn there with me this morning, that would be great. And it says this: Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Let's just pray this evening before we jump into this together. Lord, we come to you tonight and we thank you for your many blessings, Lord. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the time of fellowship. We thank you that you love us and that you actively pursue us and want something greater and deeper for all of us, Lord. Pray tonight that you'll just take this message and use it for your glory, Lord. I pray that you'll speak to all of us here. Help us to encounter you and hear what you want us to hear this evening. We love you. We dedicate this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, here we are in this passage. If you really look at this passage and get the grips of what's going on here, this is an extremely, extremely dynamic and powerful passage. These are the last recorded teachings of Jesus in Matthew. Here we find Jesus after his mission has been completely accomplished. We saw his miraculous birth. We saw his powerful revolutionary teachings. We saw the miracles he performed, the healings that he performed. We saw his death on the cross, and ultimately, we saw his resurrection. And after he rose from the dead, he leaves his disciples with this call. And I think it's important that before we go into what this call is and what we should do with it, I think it's we need to understand why this. Why are these the teachings that Jesus left us with? Why the urgency for this? If we do not understand the call, we cannot understand the significance of this passage. Why the gospel? What is this sole command that Jesus says, go and make disciples? Disciples of what? What does he want us to do? Does he possibly want us to build an army of like-minded individuals? Does he possibly want us to just go out and raise the morality of the world today? Does he want to just spread his name and his fame around the world? There may be some truth in things like the moral element, but really, these are some good, but not fully accurate. You see, the calling only makes sense in response to Jesus' life and calling. It's really about loving God, loving people, and reuniting the two together. That is the essence of the call. To understand the call, we must understand the gospel, which I believe is the most beautiful, most deep, most amazing purpose that life can ever have. I think we can't go over it enough. So in a nutshell tonight, the gospel. Many of you have heard this before, but I think it's important that we get this ingrained into our head, what truly Christ was doing. The gospel in a nutshell is this. You, me, your Uncle Bernie down the street, I don't know, everybody, we're ultimately sinful. Every single one of us are pretty messed up. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. And I don't think it's that hard if you step back and look at your life to see that you're have had some sin issues in your life. I once dealt with a person, and this lady, she says, you know what? I don't like that teaching that we're all sinful. I'm not sinful at all. I don't sin. And I was like, that's interesting. And so I had a friend, and the friend shot back, and he said, what if we took all of your inner thoughts and we put them on a loudspeaker into the neighborhood, and every single person heard them? Would your neighbors think that you were a pretty good person and that you weren't sinful then? And she's like, well, that's not fair, or something like that. She didn't like that concept there. But it's true. I don't think that we need to be convinced that we're fallen individuals. And the people we hurt, and the things we do, and the things that we don't do that we should do, I think it's pretty obvious. And you see, the thing is that if God is truly holy and God is truly perfect, then he would demand nothing less than perfection. And no sinful thing could be around him. You see, in Romans 6:23, it tells us that the punishment for sin is death. That we're in trouble. You see, we deserve death and deserve to spend eternity away from God. And this is where the logic of other religions falls short. This is where the fallacies truly come in, and that other religions will teach us that if we can just get good enough, if our good can outweigh the bad, we can somehow get to God. But you see,